In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For some reason, when I was in the process of planning this sermon, I remembered singing an old hymn back at the Temple Baptist Church on East 25th Street, Winston-Salem. I don't know if y'all sang it over here. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. My daughter Kimberly is a potter. Given all the references of fire in the gospel and other places, it occurred to me to ask her, how hot does it get to make a pot in a kiln? I thought that was a simple question. Well, it wasn't a simple answer, and I'm not going to be here the hour and a half to tell you about the various kinds of pottery, clay, glazes, etc. But suffice it to say, none of you got an oven that'll come close. We're talking 1,500 to over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wished it were already kindled. So Jesus says in our gospel, fire is a very, very powerful symbol, because fire is a very, very powerful thing. We find it often referred to in Holy Scripture. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord? In today's lesson, Jeremiah. Remember from your Bible study, when you were a kid, the stories of the people coming out of Egypt, being led by a pillar of cloud in the daytime, and by what? Fire at night, right? A pillar of fire. Elijah calls down fire upon the prophets of Baal. And John the Baptist says, one more powerful than I is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, of course, Episcopalians have been playing with fire for a long time. We have candles on the altar. We have candles behind the altar. We have vigil candles in the chapel and over here beside the baptismal font. We've got a sanctuary light that burns in the sanctuary. That's that little red globe up there that you'll see a fire. That will always be burning if there is a reserve sacrament in the ombre, which is that wooden box that sits inside the altar rail. Everything from the altar rail to the back wall is called the sanctuary. Up here, this is called the chancel, and out there is the nave, and that's the narthex. Just a little lesson. In a minute, we're going to receive a newly baptized cute baby. And we'll hand a candle to somebody in the family, and that candle will be lit. And we'll say, receive the light of Christ. That candle has fire on the tip of it. That fire will burn you. It's real fire. And we give that as a symbol to the newly baptized. The Paschal candle, that big candle right there in the middle, will be the source of that fire for the little candle. At all baptisms and all funerals, which you have far too many of here, In all the services during Easter, that big candle, the Paschal candle, is lit. The flame of the new fire of Easter is present among us. Fire gives both heat and light. Fire transforms darkness into light. Fire warms up cold places and invites the chilled to warm themselves. Fire changes things. Fire transforms things. Fire is an agent of change. Metals are refined and made pure in extreme heat. Pottery is of little use and doesn't show its true beauty until it is fired in a kiln. An agent of change that can both create and destroy. And Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Today's gospel is divided into two parts. The first is about Jesus' mission. I came to bring. His mission is to bring God's kingdom into the world. Fire is representing the action of God in the world. And this imagery is often used to describe God's purifying judgment, the power of God to consume and destroy evil. The second session of the gospel, Jesus chastises his listeners for not interpreting the signs of the times. This is the part of his gospel where he says, you know what is right, why are you not doing it? Actually, this gospel is a disturbing one for me. It's frightening when you stop and think about it. Jesus says, I come to bring fire, to divide families or people, one from another. That's disturbing. A few years ago, a very rich and famous person was quoted as saying, Christianity is for wimps. And I wondered about how that person came to that conclusion. I wondered if he got that idea from watching the followers of Jesus. Maybe his exposure to Christ has been through observing the church. How about that? Is it possible? Has the church, in its ongoing effort to be correct, to have new people, to not offend anybody, taken the fire out of Jesus' message and ministry? Have we been so sanitized, or my word, nicified? And have we nicified the gospel so that it reads more like a rule book for good manners? Make no mistake about it, good people. Christianity is not for wimps. Jesus says it himself in many, many ways. He says, it doesn't take much for a person to love those who love him or her. Even unfaithful and irreligious people can do that. Jesus says, it takes a special relationship with God to love the unlovely. Jesus says, it takes courage and gumption to love those who hate and despise you. Jesus says, it takes more courage and strength to turn the other cheek than it does to strike back. The fire that Jesus talks about is the fire of God's judgment of the world and thus our being judged before God. The division that Jesus talks about is that of being divided from those who follow Jesus and those who do not. And I do not mean in the wearing of religious labels or even church attendance. I mean following the way of Jesus, the way Jesus showed his friends and his disciples how to live a life of love and sacrifice. There are many folks who don't even know the name Jesus who live that way. And many of them were more Christ-like than people who claim to be so religious. Jesus is expecting devotion and commitment, and he knows that commitment to him will indeed divide people one from another. I remember in the 60s when Jesus inspired people, I'm going to go sit at that lunch counter with those folk. And they weren't welcome back into their own home. I know in recent times people discovered that God was actually calling them to come out with who they really were in terms of their sexuality, and they were no longer welcome in their own home. You see, when God's fire and spirit gets into people, things start to happen, and they don't always make people comfortable. In fact, they often will divide people because they always, and Jesus always, goes against the status quo. You can take it to the bank. Jesus talks about fire bringing it to the earth, and he talks about the baptism with which he is to be baptized. When Jesus refers to that baptism, he is referring to his suffering and crucifixion. The problem for me in this very short passage is it puts a mirror right in front of my face. It might for you as well. Because in this very short passage, Jesus is calling for commitment. He's telling his listeners that it's going to be difficult, even divisive, and that following him will be set in the context of his suffering and death. And then he rebukes his listeners for their shallow commitment and refusal to understand. He says, you can tell by looking at the clouds when the weather is going to be a certain way. How then can you not interpret then the sign that Jesus is providing to you about the nature of God and how to love and worship God? You know how to interpret the signs around you. You know how to interpret the signs around you. You know that God expects you and me to love others in a sacrificial manner. You're going to stand up in a few minutes and reaffirm your own baptismal vows. So you know what's expected of you. You know that God expects you to affirm justice in how you act towards others. You know that God expects you to look for Christ in every person and respect the dignity of every human being, particularly those people that you do not like. And you know that God expects you to be a peacemaker. And you should know that God expects you to care for God's creation. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you know how to do this. Why don't you just do it? I used to have a note taped to my computer when I was here before at St. Paul's to remind me every day of the nature of what I'm supposed to be about. It was a message to me. I'll share it with you. The message said, you are expected to take risk for Jesus. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could have good manners. He died and triumphed over death so that we might have the courage to boldly confess him as Lord and emulate his sacrifice in our life. The persons who take their baptism for granted, who do not think that how they live matters to God, is a woefully misguided Christian. Have you ever been in a fire? Well, actually you have, but you didn't know it. The fire that brings Jesus, the fire that Jesus brings to the earth, is the Spirit of God given to you to be able to serve and love God and God's creation with all your heart and mind and body. It is the light that will show you the way. It is the heat that will energize you and empower you to live for God and be in God's service. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You have to feel the heat to follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.